Hey there, lovebirds and lone wolves. It's your favorite sexpert, Stephanie Smith, and we're about to take a joyride through the wild world of sex and relationships. So buckle up, because we're going to laugh, learn, and maybe even blush a little as we uncover the secrets to kick-ass sex life. So grab your headphones and get ready for some scandalous stories, quirky advice, and a whole lot of laughs. Welcome to Let's Talk About Sex with me, Stephanie Smith, the podcast that's about to make your ears blush. Have you ever considered how your sexual health could be linked to your overall cardiac health? What about, have you ever thought about tracking your physiological responses during intimate moments? Have you ever looked at ways to improve your sexual performance through technology? Or maybe you've just been curious about how advancements in sex tech could revolutionize your personal wellness journey. Joining me today, Dr. Elliot Justin, MD, the CEO and founder of MyFirmTech. It's a technology company enhancing male performance and combating ED. Dr. Justin is an acclaimed expert in the rapidly evolving sex tech industry, with a unique focus on the intersection of sexual and cardiac health and well-being. His interventions are revolutionizing both intimate experiences and cardiac well-being. With his team of physicians and bioengineers, they embedded sensors into an advanced cock ring, or for those that need a softer landing, an erection ring. Born during sex, the tech ring graphs the duration of erections, firmness, and force of ejaculation, and worn overnight, the number of nocturnal erections that indicate vascular health and impact on medications, supplements, and alcohol. The tech ring has an easy-to-use and informative cloud-based application that securely records, stores, and transmit data, which can be shared in the privacy with your doctor, you can do it with your partner, or you just keep it for your own personal ego. Sexual performance can now be objectively quantified, even gamified. The tech ring is like an at-home EKG that tracks the vital signs of a man's most vital organ. No appointments or prescriptions are necessary. It is also the world's first most comfortable and firming penis rings. Men can now get harder, think smarter about their sexual health and performance. This is truly revolutionary. Please welcome Dr. Elliot Justin.
Thanks. It's great to be here. My mother gave me two first names and two last names, so it's Elliot Justin. But you can call me Jeffrey.
Thank you for joining me today. I'm a little nervous myself, but I am just loving this. So today's topic is cock rings for all, is what I would like to say, cock rings for all. And I want you to say, I love the whole thing. I didn't know this when I heard you on the Dr. Kelly show, that men, straight men, think that cock rings are only for gay men.
Yeah, well, it's a sign of male obtuseness and pride. So 90% of gay men who are sexually active use cock rings regularly, and only 10% of straight men do. And I think there's several reasons for it. Obviously, gay men are more open to cock rings. And also, there's the reality that anal penetration is harder than vaginal penetration, and a ring can help keep these guys stiff for what they want to do. But that said, you know, we have a joke at medical conventions, which I've said before, perhaps I've heard before, but it's pertinent to this, to what you just said, which is, how do you tell the difference between a straight doctor and a gay doctor? Probably applies to straight men and gay men, which is, you ask one question, do you use a cock ring? And the straight doctor's reaction is like Superman kryptonite. I don't need that. And the gay doctor's reaction is, last night, it was uncomfortable. Got a better one. So the problem, there's, so in addition to this sort of, you know, this notion that men need to be natural and virile, and there's something using AIDS is an issue of, you know, kind of offends their pride. There's also the fact that cock rings suck. They're uncomfortable. They're made for 150 years the same, frankly, stupid way. It's a hard silicone ring. It's like a gasket or a noose on your dick. And you have to have an erection before you put it on because it's a chokehold. It'll choke off the arterial flow. And frankly, a lot of men who actually would really benefit from rings, men with decreased blood flow or men with anxiety syndrome, performance anxiety, which is common, they have struggled to get an erection. So you're challenging them. I have to get an erection, then I got to put this thing on. So, you know, in my lifetime, and I'm quite a bit older than you, Stephanie, I'm 71 years old, vibrators have become mainstream. My mother's vibrator was stashed away in the bottom drawer of a supply closet that we found that she said was for a back massage. I don't know what she said. And then in the 70s and 80s, when I was actively dating before I got married, women used them, but there was a certain shame about them. You know, we're still back in the clitoral versus vaginal orgasm phase, and we're still calling women who can't orgasm back then frigid or anorgasmic. And there was sort of an embarrassment to women to using vibrators, and now they're mainstreamed. You know, my wife, who you met earlier, I don't know how many she has, and like a lot of women who use vibrators, probably you too, she likes to use more than one while we're making love because at different phases of her passion, she wants to have a rumble, she wants a buzz, she wants to have this shape, she wants to have that shape, and you know. Our daughter takes them on dates, and as do her friends, and they've even turned into a form of jewelry. You've probably seen the Crave vibrator. By the way, I don't like endorsing brands, but my wife really likes that one. So,
which one do you like?
The Crave. C-R-A-V-E.
Okay, cool. Just ask you to please answer the question about that, because a lot of men don't like women using that because they feel inferior to the vibrator.
Do they really? Is that really the case? I mean,
see, this is the thing, because you're such an out of the box thinker, which I love, and that's why we're rule breakers and not rule makers. But the thing is that this is what women tell me, that my husband won't let me bring a vibrator into the home. So I know you have it freely there. Is not how you hear about it from men?
I don't hear about that from men anymore, and I did. I did back in the 90s, early 2000s. I don't hear that anymore.
Thank you.
I think the attitude has changed. And I don't want to generalize about that, but that's really you know my impression. I wonder sometimes whether the women aren't using that as an excuse when I hear it, because
you're right.
I put it this way. And I want to get talked about technology a little bit, but if a woman introduces a sex toy into a relationship, it's far more likely not to get used. If a man introduces a sex toy, if a man brings a vibrator, well, that's totally different. If a man introduces a sex toy, it might get used once or twice, and then it ends up under the bed or on the night table or in the garbage or hidden away. So, you know,
right.
So I think the men are much more focused on it. Hey, if she's happy, I'll be happy. I think that's the mm-hmm. I'm generally not generalizing. I know that there are other, but I don't think that's the case anymore. I do think that if when it comes to cock rings, I mean, our data shows that all men use cock rings, and so we have internal data, and we looked at something that's never been studied before, which is detumescence. So tumescence is the time it takes to get an erection. Well, there are lots of variables. It's really hard to study with that. Hey. Is it alone? Is it with a partner? Are you watching porn? Are you drunk? Are you smoking pot? What medications do you take? Where do you see? There's a lot of variables that affect tumescence. Detumescence with nothing else involved, that's more objective. That's the time it takes for an erection to go down. So mm-hmm. We studied 21 men. Now, granted, they're all here in Montana where I live, but I suspect we can generalize from this data.
I love it. Data's data, honey. What some of this data that, let's just be real, some of our data that we get from pharma and from medical devices, they only have five participants. So you having 21 is beautiful.
Well, if you go back to the original PDE5 data, the Viagra data, it's marginally better than placebo. But I'm drifting away, but I'll get back to the reason in a second. I have men who might prescribe Tadalafil, Cialis, and they tell me that it works for them even if it's just in their wallet or in their night table. So we're talking about something that has a profound, placebo effect. So raw data when it comes to D2-MESS, the time it takes to lose an erection, a man will lose, and the men range in age from 27 to 70. I was the oldest person in the study. The average erection went down, this is off the top of my head, I don't recall the exact number, it's about 35 seconds from climax to could no longer penetrate. With Tadalafil, it was a little bit over 2 minutes. With our ring, sort of the maximum performance ring, it was over 4 minutes. And with both together, Tadalafil plus the ring, it was over 5 minutes. So the message really is, men, if you want to have a harder, longer-lasting erection, put a ring on it. Over your inhibitions.
Put a ring on it.
And our ring was specifically designed for comfort. Now, if you want, the ultimate would be ring plus a medication. But the ring is more effective. And the doctors, of course, they don't know about rings. They're not oriented to rings. The doctors write prescriptions. They order tests. They want you to come back. They want to do an intervention. So the current, right now, if a man has erectile dysfunction, sees a urologist, they'll wave a Doppler over his dick in the office. Now, what is that telling you? Men want to know what's going on when they're trying to have sex. If I go into a doctor's office and I get a nurse has cold hands, could be male or female, puts her hands on my penis with cold lube, and then takes an ultrasound probe, which is cold, and puts it on my penis. Yeah. We're not coming anywhere close to what's going on when that man is trying to have sexual relations. So now we've done a Doppler study on this man, because you get paid to do a Doppler, and you've ordered a panel of hormone tests. And let's suppose the hormone tests are normal. What's the next thing the doctor would do? Get a pill. We're going to prescribe Viagra or Sildenafil, one of the PDE5 medications. Well, those medications are really – they do put blood into the penis. I think the large effect is placebo. They do put blood into the penis. Is that the man's problem, though? Because there are two problems that men have, and the urologist grouped these two problems together dumbly. One is, I can't attain an erection. If a man can't attain an erection, he's got a serious problem. That man has diabetes, hypertension, medication issues. This is probably not a relationship problem. The most common problem for men is they start to get an erection, or they get an erection and they lose it. And they can lose it for a reason, for anything from performance anxiety, distraction, medications, diseases, alcohol, drugs. So at FirmTech, and those men, if you can get an erection, do you really need a PDE5 medication? That PDE5 puts blood in, but you're already putting blood in. Maybe put a little more blood. So maybe the medication puts a little more blood in if you're older, or you have diabetes, or hypertension. But your issue is sustain erection. So a ring helps you sustain erection. Rings, I'll talk personally, rings have changed my marriage. I'm married, this is our 36th year.
Love that.
We never use cock rings regularly. We are into sex, like you. But my wife would maybe buy me a cock ring once a year, twice a year, kind of like a novelty. And we use it once and we didn't like it because they're uncomfortable.
Right.
And she didn't like them either because they kind of come between us. And then there's this sort of, there's this cringe moment after a man comes. You want this thing off right away. The great thing, getting back to the data I gave you before, if I'm going to stay hard 4 or 5 minutes after I've had an orgasm, that's one way in which this ring has changed our lives, turns the quality of our intimacy. Because the male mindset is come and done. Men have an erection, you can probably stab them in the back while they're fucking, and they just probably keep fucking until they bled out. But once they come, they're done. And it's like, hey, well, who texted me while we're having sex? Or let's have a drink. Or, let's go to bed. What's next? A man with a sustained erection afterwards, comfortable one, different
let's
mindset.
Let's go.
So at our age, it's not like I have to keep on thrusting for my wife to come again. But my mindset is totally different. And we both comment on this. We spend more time horizontal after making love, talking, intimate, rubbing, intimately engaged. And that's really, that was profound. So the challenge, you know, going back to the beginning with FirmTech, I didn't set out to make a better cock ring. That was secondary. I really set out to get data. So I was challenged by a urologist, Dr. Jim Hotelling, he's now my chief medical officer at the University of Utah, to come up with a way of counting the number of nocturnal erections that men have, you know, while they're sleeping. I mean, everyone knows about morning wood, and we poke our partner with it, and we laugh about it, and we worry about it if we don't have it. But I had no idea that is a leading indicator of cardiovascular health or medication side effect. So, Stephanie, you're medicine. Leading indicator is profound. That's a profound thing to say. So, like when he told me that, I thought, wow, this is the sixth vital sign. This is really important because association is already a motivator in medicine. So high blood pressure is associated with heart attack and stroke. It's not a leading indicator, unless it's really high, in which case it's a hypertensive emergency, but that's extreme. It's an association. And because it's an association, we take pills, we watch our diet, and we watch our weight, and all these other things because it's association. But now we're talking about a leading indicator, meaning that if a man has, as they show, has 3 to 5 nocturnal erections per night, and that goes down to 1, 2, maybe a week or none, that man has a cardiovascular problem or a serious medication side effect until proven otherwise and needs to see a doctor. So, you and I live in this age of healthcare wearables, and there's this big gap with the sex. And what do men care more about? How many steps it took yesterday, or where the game kilo, or where the dick works. Exactly. How their cock works. Exactly. So this could be a profound motivator, not just for better sexual health, but for better cardiovascular health, better health overall. And we know that my hope, of course, is that people will develop a positive relationship with our tech ring. Because, I'll just give an example. It's kind of typical. My wife has a digital scale. She watches her weight. I don't need to watch my weight, but I step on that scale every day because it's there, and I like the data feedback. Oh, I'm good. You know.
Yes.
So with our ring, and I'm going to turn on my phone so I can show you the app. With our ring, it's the same way. My data is a motivator. So I personally just have used the ring a couple of times to change I'm doing.
So the data from the ring goes right to an application.
Goes to the cloud, and that goes. It's on Bluetooth enabled. So the ring, have you seen the ring?
I saw picture only video on the videos.
We should get to one to play around with.
I would love it.
Yeah, that's the ring. So there's a pressure sensor there, a strange gauge there. We'll be adding other sensors next year, and you drop it goes on differently. One thing, it's not made out of hard silicone. It's made out of soft.
Yeah, I love that. It looks nice. Okay.
It opens and closes for safety with a feature adopted from the bra. So instead of being a ring, it opens and closes with a hook. So I'm a lean guy. I can look down and I can see my penis, but most guys, they look down and see belly. These rings can be hard to put on. Our ring does not block the arterial flow into the penis. It just constrains the venous return. And that means it can be put on discreetly. It doesn't have to be, oh, I've got an erection. Where's my ring? Now we can have sex. So it can be put on hours before sex. It can be worn for hours. So it does two things. One, it gives people vital data. Here, I'll show you what it looks like. We're in the Apple and Google stores. That's our logo over there, FirmTech.
Oh, I love it. I will show that as a post.
Yep, here, I'll show you what it looks like. Yeah, I'm not sure. This is my data.
Tell us what it means.
A score above 6.5 is good. I'm averaging 3.3 nocturnal erections per night. That's if you have sex before you go to bed, which I try to have sex before I go to bed every night. Well, I don't know why anyone wouldn't. It will go down.
I'm a morning person. I like both, but I do like morning.
Well, it helps with sleep.
That's right. It does. Okay.
What we've noticed in our data is that having sex Well, it really depends on how long you have sex. But having sex for 20, 30 minutes while you're in bed, I kind of regard that as a quickie. But having sex probably that is reduced the number of nocturnal erections. So I average 3 per night. If I don't have sex before I go to bed, I'll have 5 to 6 nocturnal erections. So for me, I'll show you what the day looks like.
Okay.
So here... Mm-hmm. Here...
Oh, that's cool.
This is the Anne and I having sex here. My wife and I having sex. And you're seeing this, we call this the love notch. Why? Because in most committed relationships, the woman comes first. That's our peak. And then I get some attention paid to me, and then I'm okay over there. So it's like a little lag period in between. And then I'm having, these are nocturnal erections. Bang, 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 bang. So for me, this is more fun than my electrocardiogram. This means I'm in good cardiovascular and good sexual health.
I love that.
And I could measure the impact of, if I wanted to, of alcohol, marijuana, medications, upon my sleep. So what I've noticed is, if I'm under a lot of stress, my nocturnals go down, and it makes me pay attention to what's stressing me. What can I do to relieve the stress? Or if I travel internationally, I'll take Zolpidem, Ambien, for sleep. Kills my nocturnals. I mean, people who take that regularly are actually negatively impacting their sexual health, and probably the cardiovascular health as well, too. And I can even, with this device, see when this is point for men and for women, when you're drinking, when you get really turned on, but you can't climax. And I can actually nail it. Our daughter wants us to come up with that. And we will eventually do this. It's just a question of time and money. Come up with that.
I love it.
Like, for example, Steph, if you and I are involved, you could actually get, and you saw me drinking, you could actually count my drinks and get send us both alerts to our smartwatches or device or phone saying, "Hey, Elliot, if you want to have sex tonight, you're at your limit."
Can you imagine how good that would be for a couple? Because he's got it going, right? He wants it to happen, and she's like, "The way he's drinking, it's not going to happen." And he's like, "Oh, yes, it is." And so then they can just have an application that will settle so many fights.
By the way, that goes both ways for men watching their one drink. Yeah,
I love that. Yes, it does. It goes both ways. Yes, thank you.
So the data is really valuable, but the ring. But the ring itself, I didn't understand. I didn't understand the value of rings. I don't have sex with that one now, so I don't really need a ring. I want a ring. So men tell me, doctors, straight doctors, or just straight men, I don't need it. My response is, do you want a better orgasm? Do you want to last longer? Do you want to be harder? Do you want it to be easier to satisfy a partner? Do you want your partner to be more excited because you're more satisfied? And the answer to all those questions is, of course, yes. So I hope we're actually, really going out and speaking to people like you and promoting this, that the technology is really valuable. The data can be health changing, potentially life saving. But
yes,
put a ring on it.
I love it. Put a ring on it. Here's the thing. Okay. Why you mentioned this thing about going in? I don't know how a guy goes into a urologist and gets tested and the whole wand thing and all blah blah blah. Why are we not handing them a ring? Sending them out of the office with that ring, asking them to get that data, come back with that data to the urologist and the cardiologist, because they both could be getting down deeper to exactly the issues of the patient, which is where we need to get down to.
Well, it starts with the fact that people are still inhibited about talking about sex. Doctors, yes, especially. So I've never, even though in medical school we learn how to take a sexual history, we never do it afterwards. Because
that's it.
And I think the reason is there's no money in it. Because electronic health record, we are reminded what to ask, what to order, and sex is not part of it. I'm 71 years old. I've never had a doctor ask me about my sexual health. And then that doctor asked me about my marriage or my partnerships, my relationships. It's incredible because what's most important to people, aside from money, what's most important to people is their love life. And doctors don't ask about it. I mean, important to their mental health and in fact, you know, even their overall health. So doctors ask about your insurance status. They don't ask about your sexual health. So a lot of special side effects of medication. So the problem starts there. And then the next part of the problem is the doctors are overall relatively straight. They might be politically, we know they're politically liberal, but they're sexually conservative. So they're inhibited. Yeah. They don't want to ask. They're embarrassed to ask. And people.
Yeah.
And then there's a lack of research. So the way our approach to this is one, so I'm going on a podcast, is there are now four papers accepted for publication. There'll be another four papers this year, maybe six. So people are going to start to, doctors, urologists, and sexologists are going to learn about our device. If I had money for a media buy, I would, but I don't have that kind of money. But I do have the money to get research.
We're going to work on getting you money because all we're going to do is keep on talking about it because this is really, I mean, I keep on talking about health and sex because my tagline is helping you create a healthy, satisfying sex life. And there, you cannot have good sex unless you're healthy. Okay. Let's be clear. It's not fun. If you're not healthy or feeling good, you're not going to have great sex. So to me, we have to continue to talk about it. And that's why I'm doing my podcast and bringing on people like yourself, because this can be life-changing. Here's some things, because I definitely want to know. I already know about 10 people that want to buy it. So I already know, so when I give gifts, like you were talking about your daughter, about how she always, you know, takes her vibrator, I give gifts. Birthday gifts, you get a vibrator or some kind of, I believe in actually, sure. I believe in anal massages for the prostate because 40% of men have prostate cancer. And if we massage that prostate, it's good. So maybe we'll talk about that another time or you can develop
but
something.
But frequency is not important to men. Women too, by the way. Yes. So if a man has sex regularly, man over 50 has sex regularly, his cortisol levels are half. I mean, regularly, I mean, every day. If a man has sex every day for 2 weeks, his cortisol levels are down 50%. Men over the age of 75 who have sex two or three times a week decrease their cardiovascular risk between 25 and 50%. Doesn't mean they're not going to die, but these are published research. So
I have 80-year-old still having sex here, honey. That's what I'm talking about. Like, here's the thing. We are going to live longer. We are not going to live till, you know, we're going to live much longer and we want to have vitality. And the only way to have vitality is to have good sex and to eat good and take care of ourselves. So this is the key here. We can start then measuring your device. We can start measuring. People will start looking at their cock because that's really what's important to them. And they'll be able to see the data to do something. See, being fat sitting on a couch, they're not going to do anything. But if they can see that their cock isn't working or it's going downhill, they're going to get up and do something. That is how I think men think. Am I right or wrong?
I think you're right. But I think a lot of people also, they give up. They get bored. There's several things people don't like to talk about in relationships, and one of them is boredom. Well, the way to deal with boredom, I'll give a couple personal examples, but in general, when I talk to other couples, what I hear is you got to stop making love regularly years ago because you made it boring. Or you made it difficult. Well, we're under stress. We got kids. We're, you know, work, blah, blah. And then people lose confidence, and it's so easy to rationalize not making love. I think people need to plan for pleasure. And if people find themselves spending more time in the gym, a lot more time in the gym than they are making love, they're showing two things. One, if you can get on a Peloton for 45 minutes, you can't make love for 15 minutes. Seriously? I mean, I would. People need to invest in their pleasure in their relationship. Stephanie, if you ever come to Bozeman, Montana, my wife and I joke that our house is the best restaurant. If you're going to come here and visit, I wouldn't like open the refrigerator and say, oh, Stephanie's coming in a few minutes. What's here? Oh, I got some rotisserie chicken. Let's heat it up and I'll throw some sauce on it. No, I would plan a meal. People like to rationalize that, oh, well, great sex is spontaneous. Yeah, spontaneous sex is great, but it's hard to have spontaneous sex as you get older. That's the reality. Yes. You know,
reality.
People want to talk about the dangers of porn. How about the dangers of HBO? I mean, Game of Thrones sex is kind of fun to watch, but that's not the reality.
No. Look,
if I don't throw my wife up against the wall and bang her hard and we both come. That's just – she doesn't push me down the bed, tear my clothing off, and we both climax together for 3 minutes. That's not reality. So what do you need to do in order to have better sex? You need to plan. There's so many there are toys, there's role playing, there's so much fun that people can have if they will take the time, if they will overcome their inhibitions, talk about it and plan.
Thank you. Cuz and it's kind of cool to see you as a male have your inhibitions really, you know, be open to exploring so much with your wife. And I love that because so many men don't know how to, many women do not. And I don't know how to teach women. I have a friend that teaches women. I'm more on the man side. That's the reason why I really loved your stuff, because I love teaching men about how to take better care of their cock. But also too, they like to just think that they should explode and just have fun. And I'm like, no, sometimes you need to hold that power, hold it, and just create some, you know, fun stuff. The lead up.
That's where the rig is great. And so I'll talk about myself right now, but a lot of customers, what I'm about to tell you, which is that the ring is a profound confidence builder for both the man and the woman. Or it could be a man and man. But the ring is, and I'll get to men and men in a moment because I have some interesting stories there. But the ring is a great confidence builder. You know, prior to my wife using cock rings regularly, there were certain positions that have become boring. They might, at least boring for me. Boring for me because of repetition. Boring for me because I didn't get the friction that I needed because I'm older. And also we've done this so many times. And my wife has had 3 kids. So things like the missionary position or having sex with from behind. Yeah, I do them. But in my mind, I'd be thinking, you know, I'm going to lose my erection in a few minutes. Why are you making me do this? Because I'm not turned on enough. But with the ring, my mindset is different. I'm now a guy with an erection. And the guy with an erection thinks differently. The guy with an erection thinks, hey, I might not want to come in this position, but you're enjoying it. I'm hard. I'm still turned on. You want to do this 10, 15 minutes? I'm fine with it. And that's been life-changing for Annie and I.
Go ahead.
Women have a problem that men complain about to each other, which is, and we don't, men most men are luck discusses with their wives, but the wives are aware of and they do it anyway. Or girlfriends, in the middle of passionate sex, somebody starts talking about something else. So it could be something happened at work, or it could be something happened with a friend, or something happened with their mother, or whatever it is. And men think, especially older men, not 25-year-old guys, but 50-year-old guys, 60-year-old guys, 71-year-old guys. What the fuck? You can't hold on to that thought for 5 minutes. We're both about to have an orgasm. Now I got to hear about your mother, or you just figured out a great idea to redesign a bedroom. And I don't want to hear about it right now. So with the ring on, I don't care anymore. With the ring on, I don't. Yeah, you know, go ahead. Because you can talk about that 5 minutes, and I'm still gonna have an erection. So. It doesn't make a difference. And I both laugh about that change because it's so the ring, but also with the ring, there's no longer this, because we're both older people. Okay, we're both turned on now. She wants to get her vibrator. We're going to fuck. We're going to try to come in 5 to 10 minutes because we're both turned on. With the ring now, we make love for 30, 40 minutes. And it's because, and she's, I would say her, you know, she's, has more orgasms, and I've had more, and I enjoy it more too. Because I don't really want to, you know, having an orgasm for me in 5 minutes, that's like having an hors d'oeuvre or a cocktail. You know, I'm not really interested. I want to be edged. I want to have multiple. She wants it as well too. So it's really changed the experience. And I hear about that from men who use our rings and their partners. Whether they have ED or whether they don't have ED, the ring is a confidence builder for both people in the relationship.
Yeah. Talk about the clitoral one, because you said that you get the data from both. So tell us how that whole works in our head, how it gets onto the clitoral.
We have a device for women. We've tested on 38 women. We have.
I'll test.
Well, you want to test the next version, because the sensors that we originally tested, there are two papers about this. We've come up with we've learned about sensor, more sensors, better sensors. I say some ones that are more sensitive and specific than the ones that they're currently using. I'm not going to tell you what they are because it's proprietary.
No. Yeah.
But that device really is, it's just a question of money. And we need about, on the engineering side, I need about $500,000 to complete that and take it to market. Couple of $1,000 for research and the rest will be for marketing. So I will come out with that device in 2025 regardless, but I can make it happen faster if I had money.
I'm going to help you.
So we're measuring clitoral health. So there is a vibrator called Lioness, which will tell you what's going on inside your vagina. It will measure cubicogastrocnemius muscle contractions, vaginal wall movements, during sex. But it can't be used in penetrative sex. I'm interested in the health of the clitoris, just the way I was interested in the health of the penis. I wonder about the health of the clitoris. It's easy. I mean, we do have a sensor inside the vagina with our device that can give us the same data that the Lioness gives. But I want to know what's going on with the clitoris so the women can then measure the impact of diseases and medications, et cetera, upon their sexual health. So postmenopausal women have all the same problems. They have, before menopause, women with female hormones give women some protection, not total protection, against atherosclerosis. Postmenopausal women have all the same problems that men do. And actually, it's all pretty much equal now because women, unfortunately, become too many of them overweight. Diabetes, hypertension, obesity, these are sexual health, cardiovascular problems. Premenopausal women take more medications than men do. Premenopausal women often take hormones for birth control, and they take SSRI antidepressants, which are click killers. And if women had a device, such as what I'm discussing, they could then titrate the dosage, they can see the impact. It'll transform what women are doing to themselves and what doctors are doing to them to have data. Because if you have data, if you can, as the cliche goes, if you can track it, you can hack it.
Yeah. And I love that, because actually I got off all of my medications last year. I did all this stuff like what you're talking about is stuff that I did as a female, because it wasn't working for me anymore. The SSRIs and all that stuff. Blood pressure medication.
Terrible class of medicine.
Pardon me?
The SSRIs are a terrible class of medicine.
Horrible. Yeah. And so I went on that whole journey with using Dr. Sarno's thought process of bringing blood flow. My mom actually has dementia. And so that's kind of why I started getting into this. She's young but not moving. And my dad's 80 running circles around her. So, and he's ready to have sex. So I've got to help him. I'm that person. And so, so I kind of came up with his philosophy of bringing blood flow and throughout the body and getting people moving.
It's about blood flow.
And then diet, right? Blood flow.
Yeah.
And my sex was, I take care of myself. I'm a single person by choice and have FWBs, fine. But I will say that since getting off of all that medication, blood pressure, reducing the weight, doing all of that, eating better, my orgasms are better. So you are 100% right. But I would have loved to have tracked that stuff. That would have been super fun to track, right?
It would have been motivating. And it would have given you valuable data okay, I'm doing this intervention. Is it working? Because right now, there's, and I'll say that I'm a doctor, I'm a conventional doctor, but there's very little reason for people to trust doctors, especially after COVID. When so many doctors went along with lies, natural immunity doesn't work anymore. But so as a consequence, people are turning more and more to naturopaths, homeopaths, alternative healthcare, whatever you want, integrative medicine, et cetera. But what people don't realize is those other doctors are just as motivated by money and often deluded or by, is a strong word, they're believers. They believe that when the alternatives are working, but is it objective? So, in the area of men's health, there are, you know, a man with ED or a man who wants to stay virile, they'll walk on broken glass for a solution. So all these things being about to use the word peddled, but that's too strong. All these things being sold to men as potentially being beneficial, and I think some of them are, and some I know that some of them aren't. They range from shock therapy, which I think can help a lot of men, but it's being sold as a solution for pretty much everyone. And I think it's almost really going to be beneficial for men with mild to moderate vasculogenic erectile dysfunction, diabetes, hypertension. It's not going to help guys. There are problems men with ED. It's not going to help, but the guys will pay money for it anyway. The plasma shot. Well, I think the data is equivocal. Then there's stem cells. I kind of can see how that might work, but how about proving it? Well, these are expensive, you know, interventions. And then there's all the nutraceuticals. The nutraceutical market for men and women is multi-billion. Well, we haven't found a single, and because we tested a lot of oral products for men. I'm not going to condemn any brands. But you can test these using our technology. You can take all sorts of supplements with our device and say, well, is that making my dick any harder? You know, I'm having more nocturnal erections. If I'm taking testosterone therapy, I think there are men who benefits and men who doesn't. Well, with technology, you can prove it. You can see it. So it's the same thing with women will have the same benefit for the female device as well, too. So in what we're doing is revolutionary in terms of urology and sexology. So, you know, if I went to, or you went to a cardiologist right now and said, gee, you know, I walk down the driveway, I feel a little short of breath. I haven't felt that way before. And that doctor just listened with the stethoscope to our chest and said, you know, Stephanie, your ticker sounds okay. Your pulse feels good. Go ahead. You're okay. You would think, what the fuck is 1880? I want a CT calcium angiogram. I want blood tests. I want electrocardiogram. Well, that's where urology and sexology are, and gynecology are, for, you know, for sexual health. They can wave an ultrasound over the penis or the clitoris in their office, but they can't really tell you what you want to know, which is what is really going on. What if I take this pill, am I getting better? If I take this shot, am I getting better? If I do this exercise regimen, am I getting better? So what we're talking about is revolutionary.
Revolutionary. And that's why it will take time, because you're doing something against what everything in everyone's brain. You're doing something completely that no one's done, and they can't see that there's benefits, but there's a lot of benefits. I think that I want to work with you because I think we can I know you have some GoFundMe things, but as you're talking, my brain's like Dr. L. Kelly, you know, her brain's going, my brain's going. Like, you know, she may have the patience and that's great, but I think that there's a way that we can get this I have some different ideas. Here's some things. I'm going to put it on my link in my bio. I'm going to have your website for people to go and buy. I'm going to post all your articles all over my Reddit. So that's where I post all my articles, so that if anyone wants to look for your articles so quickly or whatever, because I don't know what platforms you're on, but I like to hit people in about 10 different platforms. So this will go on about 10 different, actually this will go on 13 different platforms. So I'm set up to do that right now. Exactly how much money between the female and the male that we need. So if anyone's listening to our podcast and wants to be able to invest, what is it?
$1.6 million is what we need for the female device. Okay. The male device just needs some marketing, needs some money for a media buy, probably $300,000, maybe $2 million total.
Okay. And just let's tell everyone, how much is the device for the male right now?
Sure. It's just the retail price is $275 for the tech ring. And $60 for our best-selling product, which is called, we call the Maximum Performance Ring. So the Maximum Performance Ring does not have any technology in it, but it was designed to increase the ejaculatory phase by 50%. So the longer the ejaculation lasts in the man, the more powerful the orgasm is. And we use that, my wife and I use that pretty much every day.
So you want both of them. Bottom line, you want both.
We're selling them as a bundle for $295 on the website. I mean, the matching therapy is so good that my wife said she's glad the kids are out of the house because I'm so loud, and I know they're not before. So,
well, tell me one more story because I know you want me to end. I want to keep on task, but just tell me one other good story that you want to share with the audience.
So our oldest client that I'm aware of is 82 years old. His wife is 64. He contacted me because he was unable to have an orgasm for about 15 months and would notice that his erections were getting so it's getting harder for him to get erection hard enough for penetration. He was taking 5 medications, all of which that could have an impact on his sexual performance. I told him, we warned everyone, hey, don't make any changes without consulting a doctor. But I know all these, I know they do it anyway. I suggest to him that he probably only needs 2 of those 5 medications, and that there, for one of those 2 medications, there was an equivalent that did not have a blood pressure medicine, that would not have an impact upon his sexual health. And about 6 weeks later, he and his wife sent me an email saying they're having sex 2-3 times a week. He can have orgasms again, and they're really happy.
Ah, love it. I love it. That's a great story. Okay, we're going to end there. I'm going to stop, but stay right there because I want to talk to you for 1 second. Excellent. So I'm going to stop. All right. Well, there you have it. Thank you for joining me on today's amazing podcast. I just love bringing in new technology and just new things out there in the world and sharing that with you. Isn't it mind-blowing that you can measure the number of nocturnal erections and that could potentially indicate a vascular health issue or an impact that's a medication you're taking, a supplement, or how alcohol is affecting your penis? It's crazy. It's crazy. All right, man. Go out and get yourself one. Just get yourself one, okay? You don't need to wait for your wife. This is not impacting her. This is for you to know about your physical health, your sexual health, and how your erections are doing. It will give you peace of mind. We're going to have Dr. J back on for some more lives, Q&As. He's super excited. I am too. This is truly a mind-blowing, revolutionary cock ring. And like I say, it's a cock changer. And everyone just needs to get one. I have a promo code from Dr. J in the links in my bio. His product's at the first of my page. The promo code's there for your convenience. It's 10% off. Go out there, get your cock ring, and start measuring what's going on with your physical health. And we can measure it by your number of erections. And the cool thing is that he's doing a female component for the clitoris. So we're going to be able to start doing that females. So I'm super excited about all of this stuff that's coming out in the world and being able to bring it to you. Please stay tuned because guess what? We're going to start doing our lives over at Schizo Kitty in Palm Desert starting Tuesday, April the 2nd. So excited that Dave, the owner over there, is working with Let's Talk About Sex with me, Stephanie Smith, and helping us get out there and start getting people more comfortable about talking about sex.
And that's a wrap, folks. Thank you for joining me on today's exhilarating podcast of Let's Talk About Sex. If you loved what you heard and want to keep the conversation going, make sure to hit that subscribe button, like, and follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Don't miss out on our future episodes packed with even more tips, tricks, and tantalizing discussions. Got something to share or a burning question? I want to hear from you. Send me a message on social media or in my email. Your thoughts and stories and feedback mean the world to me, and I can't wait to hear from each and every one of you. Remember, your sexual empowerment journey doesn't end here. Keep exploring, keep growing, and keep embracing your fabulous, authentic self. Until next time, this is Stephanie Smith signing off. Stay adventurous, stay safe, and stay sexy.